Hi, this is Paul Langer of PainScience.com. It is Saturday, March 9, 2024. Today's short post is devoted to a single study. It's called Fibromyalgia Drives People to Drink. And of course, the very first question we have to ask about that, if it's true, is, or does drink drive people to fibromyalgia? A new study by Hall et al. Shows that people with weird pain, chronic and unexplained pain, or nosoplastic pain, to use the technical term that people argue about a lot, that kind of pain is quite a bit more likely to be linked to alcohol abuse than people with other kinds of pain. And not all nosoplastic pain is fibromyalgia. Not all of it fits under the umbrella of fibromyalgia, but a lot of it does. And the study focused on fibromyalgia. Specifically, they found that people with fibromyalgia scored about 40% higher on a pain-motivated drinking scale than people with other kinds of pain. 3.4 out of 5 for the folks with fibromyalgia versus just 2.4 for everybody else. The top scoring reasons for drinking for pain with fibromyalgia was to move better or get things done, which I find interesting. And for non-fibromyalgia pain, it was to forget the pain. But, and this is the story here, all the reasons given were ranked a good bit higher by fibromyalgia patients. The full list, by the way, is, let's do that. I didn't bother writing it down, but let's talk about it here. I lost it. I thought it was right in front of me, and it's not. Oh, there we go. Okay. Five reasons on the questionnaire. To get relief from physical pain, because it helps you when you feel pain. To forget your pain. To move better or get things done when you're in pain. And because it makes pain more tolerable. Some fairly fine distinctions there. So some of those are not very different from each other. Also, the questionnaire says physical pain every time, I guess to prevent people from saying, well, I do drink for my emotional pain, but they're specifically asking people to comment on the physical pain as a motive for drinking. Right, where was I? I detoured to read that list. Certainly people drink to cope with chronic pain, and there's been plenty of research about that over the years, and it seemed obvious before it was ever put under a microscope, but this is probably the first study to show that drinking for pain seems to vary with the underlying problem, and not just because some kinds of pain are more intense. In fact, specifically, pain intensity doesn't explain it. It really is the type of pain that's motivating more drinking, more than higher intensity pain of any type. For instance, you're more likely to drink for mild fibromyalgia than savage sciatica. So there's just something about fibromyalgia. The link also sticks around even after ruling out anxiety and depression. Those are common ingredients in the chronic pain stew, of course, and you could very easily say, oh, well, I'm sure that the drinkers were the anxious ones and the depressed ones. But that was ruled out. Hall et al. Report no clear pattern of more drinking with more anxiety and depression. So, what direction is the arrow of causality pointing? That is the big question that this begs, and which cannot be answered, as usual. There are three major possibilities. The most obvious one, maybe this kind of pain makes people more desperate to anesthetize themselves because it's uniquely unpleasant in quality, even when it's milder. There's just something about fibromyalgia reason. I'm not sure why this analogy keeps popping into my head, but it does. I keep thinking about how crazy leg syndrome isn't really quote-unquote painful, but it is extremely distressing and drives people absolutely nuts. It's really a terrible symptom. I guess that makes sense as an analogy for this. We're suggesting that, you know, there's something about the quality of the pain that fibromyalgia causes that is more distressing than mere intensity. And crazy leg syndrome is another good example of that, that something cannot be quote unquote painful, but still exceedingly unpleasant discomfort rather than pain per se. And maybe with fibromyalgia, there's more discomfort and distress, regardless of how strong the pain itself is. Okay, that was all the first possible causal relationship. Next up, maybe alcohol abuse came first, and the drinking actually screws with neurology and makes the problem. And then the drinking escalates as it starts to become a coping mechanism as well, and you've got yourself a vicious cycle. Certainly, that's a familiar kind of pattern with drug addiction and dependence. Drugs are very often both causing serious problems and are used to cope with those problems. That happens a lot. So this is, that's got a lot of plausibility on its face. Another more limited version of that is that maybe alcohol can't actually create fibromyalgia out of nothing. It may not be that that it's causing it to occur in the first place, but once it started, it can still make it worse. And finally, the third explanation for a causal relationship here would be that maybe both weird pain and alcohol abuse disorder are symptoms of a deeper physiological problem, something that makes us more vulnerable to both alcoholism and pain. No idea what that might be, but I don't think it's implausible. Physiology is more than complicated enough for such a relationship to exist. Okay, short post today, just that one study. Plenty more I could say about it. It was quite interesting. The full text is available if you want to read the jargon-riddled version of it, but I hope I've given you all the highlights. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.